Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 185 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. On today's episode, I am joined by two Fitter After 40 alumni, Adrian and Rhonda. Adrian and Rhonda were both wildly successful with weight loss, and success leaves clues. Today, they are going to share with you the strategies, the habits, the tools, and the mindset shifts they used to lose so much weight successfully so that you can use those in your own weight loss journey. I'm so excited for you to hear about this today. Before we jump in, one important announcement. Today, you can begin registering for my new free masterclass, The Midlife Fat Loss Formula, 6 Steps to Lose Weight Over 40. You're going to want to come to class to learn about the 3 factors that change in weight loss during perimenopause and menopause, the one important factor that actually doesn't change, but that you likely think has changed, and the 6 parts of the fat loss formula. This fat loss formula is the basis of how Rhonda and Adrian made those incredible changes that they did. Weight loss always comes back to these 6 things, and you want to make sure you know what they are. So join me in this free masterclass. It's going to have sessions offered on Monday, August 28th, Tuesday, August 29th, and Wednesday, August 30th. The link to register for totally free is in the show notes. You can also find it on my Instagram, and you can find it in my kimschlagfitness.com website. All right, let's jump into this episode. Adrian, hi.
Hello.
Thanks so much for taking time to hop on this call with me and chat through your progress.
Yeah, my pleasure. Happy to be here. Thanks for asking me.
You're welcome. So let's start here. Tell everybody a little bit about you outside of fitness.
Okay. So I'm a teacher. That's where a lot of like my identity comes from. My background's been in education for 26 years, a long time. Mostly been teaching internationally overseas. Although I am Canadian, and that's where I am now. I'm in Vancouver. But I have taken a year off of teaching and basically work in general, after some pretty serious burnout, induced by the pandemic.
I hear that that a lot of people in the education space. It's just a good friend of mine is a middle school principal, and she's like, I don't think people get the level of burnout that we dealt with and are still dealing with this, you know, these couple of years later.
Oh yeah.
From what was required of educators in that time period.
Yeah. And the implications of that will go on for several years, I think. Yeah. Educators in healthcare, I think, suffered a lot.
And I feel like the healthcare workers, it was really in top of people's mind, like, wow, healthcare workers are really struggling, and you know, they're running these crazy shifts. But I don't know how much it was acknowledged about the educators and the crazy hours you all were having to work, and the difficult situations you were placed in, not only during like lockdown, but then as we did, you know, the hybrid coming back to that was real test. And then the following year, as people are coming back and students are coming back and staff is coming back, and there are all of these lingering issues from what happened.
Yes to all of that. And being in a leadership position, I was in a leadership position in a large international school, pretty academically focused, high pressure international school. My mental and physical health really just suffered tremendously. I mean, I was working like 7 days a week, often 12-hour days, and I had a pretty decent exercise regimen prior to that, but I just couldn't maintain it. It was impossible to maintain. And even just basic care, like looking after myself, was challenging. Like feeding myself, getting enough sleep was challenging. And then to try to find some way to exercise in there was just like, forget it. I would be lucky if I got out for a walk. It was a bit bananas. So I needed, and my healthcare was suffering. My health was suffering. That was the biggest indicator. Yeah. Like at one point I was seeing a cardiologist, and I'd never had heart issues before. And I was like, what the heck? I mean, like many people during the pandemic, I think I gained weight during that period. But it also, like, it's hard for me to know what caused what because I also was hitting perimenopause right at that time
Ah,
and
perfect
was
storm.
like having, yeah, totally major hot flashes. Like, all it all happened at once. It was just a huge convergence. It was like perimenopause, pandemic, burnout. Yeah, and
And is
yeah,
that
it
what
just kind of
led you to
ballooned.
join me
It
last
was
year?
unsustainable.
And is that what led you to join me last year in Side Fitter After
Yes,
40? So
yes.
this time last year.
Yes. So I had kind of had my eye on you in that program for a little while, just following on Instagram, I think. But I knew I couldn't commit. Like, because I was just, I like, where would I find time for anything? Like, I knew I was just like, there's no way, there's no way. But I had been doing tons of reading on perimenopause and my own learning. And luckily, in Singapore, where I was before I moved back to Canada, I had excellent doctors who were great at helping me understand perimenopause and what was happening to my body. So I was beginning this journey of like learning about this, the new me, as I kept calling it. I wasn't really enjoying it. I was still like in a lot of denial about what was happening. But I had really good doctors there. But then when I, yeah, it was just kind of, again, opportunities converged. Like when I moved to Vancouver, quit my job, moved to Vancouver, and then the Fitter After 40 opened. And I had already set a goal, like not even a goal. I mean, the whole reason I guess it was a goal, but the whole reason I quit my job and moved here was because I needed to get healthy. And I needed to just stop. Like, I just needed to stop working. I needed to just focus on me, and get everything lined up again and like learn about this new body I had and figure all that out. And so, yeah, so when Fitter After 40 opened, that was just an opportunity. I was like, okay, well, the planets are aligning. Let's go for it.
Well, before we kind of fill people in on the progress you've made over the last year, like one on the steps you took, let's kind of give them an overview of where you're at now. So they hear where you were a year
Sure.
ago. You were feeling really unhealthy,
Oh
struggling
my
with
gosh.
perimenopause symptoms,
It's
overweight where you
wild.
wanted to be. Now tell them where you're at.
Yeah, it's wild thinking about where I was. Yeah, so now I'm regularly in the gym. Like, I never thought I would say that. So yeah, I'm regularly in the gym. At one point I was in the gym four times a week. Now it's like three, and well, as you know, I'm now down to two just temporarily while I train for a 10K race. That's also
Which is
something I didn't
amazing.
think I would do again. I've done a 10K race before, but I thought I would never do one again, and now here I am. That's coming up in mid-September. So now I'm running 3 days a week in the gym twice a week. And yeah, things feel pretty good. I don't know what to say. I'm fitting into clothes I haven't fit into since, I don't know, 2017. And I don't, I mean, I have all kinds of mixed feelings about like weight itself and size and all of that. Like, I don't want it to be just about that, but I feel so much better in my skin. Like, I think that's the key thing for me. Like, watching my body transform in those early days of the pandemic when perimenopause was hitting. I mean, truthfully, it was starting before the pandemic hit. Like, watching my body transform that way was like, did a real number on my head. Like, I just felt like a completely different person. It just, yeah, it messed me up in a lot of ways, especially because at the time, like, this was the big indicator for me. I guess it was 2018 was there was the first clue that my body was changing. I used to be a triathlete, so I did like small triathlons, like sprint distance triathlons, and I had done two. And then in 2018, the summer of 2018, I had gained a little bit of weight, but I didn't really think much of it because I knew that when I came back from the summer, I was going to do another triathlon in October. I was going to train for that, and so I trained for that, and my weight didn't change. Like, nothing changed. Like, my endurance, like my fitness level generally improved, but my weight didn't. And I was like, what's going on here? And my doctors were also a little bit worried about it. I mean, he knew I've seen it, been seeing an endocrinologist for a very long time because I have other health issues. And he was like, this is a little bit something. Yeah, he just wondered what was going on. And that's when we started to look in like into like body composition. And that's when I discovered it was just then in like early 2019 when I discovered I was what's called like skinny fat. Like I was still wearing like, you know, my size 6 clothes, but like I had so much body fat and not enough muscle. And that had not been true before. Like I had, because I'd been doing a lot of strength training to complement my triathlon endurance training. It wasn't the right regimen. I look back now and know why. It was the right regimen at the time. I had a different body then. I had different needs. I had completely different needs. And so, yeah, 2018, that triathlon was the first indicator of like, something's not quite right here. But I didn't really, honestly, I didn't do anything to adjust to it. I was like kind of in denial for like, three years.
Well, you have flipped that on its head this past year.
Yeah,
that body composition.
Yeah.
You have lost tons of body fat, built tons of muscle. You're down 20
yes.
pounds. You're fitting in your old
yes.
clothes. You're
yes.
in the gym. You're able to do this race yes. coming up. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking together over this past year. You joined FAF, you stayed on in the alumni group, and you've just been really dedicated to this entire process. Let's talk
yes.
through some of the things you did to get you this level of success. What do you think it was? Like, what have you done?
It helped that I wasn't working. Let's be honest. Like,
yeah.
not having
always a plus.
A full-time job gave me the space to think about it. And I knew I was in recovery. Like I was in burnout recovery. And so I really prioritized. I'm fairly good at that just in general of like evaluating, okay, what are my priorities for this part of my life right now? Like, what am I working on? And so I made sure that I prioritized my health. So that was, I think, the number one. Then, but alongside that, it's like nested below that, or maybe it's even equal to it, is a way of thinking about it, Kim. And I think this is fundamental. I came into Fitter After 40 not thinking about it as a program. Like I know many people do think of it as a program, and essentially it is a program, but I did not think of it that way. I saw it as a way to learn about how to be something different and more sustainably. Like I saw it as learning. So I was
yeah.
very much like opening all of my like brain receptors, like, okay, I've got it. So I kind of saw it as like a project or a for me, a not necessarily a problem to be solved, I guess, maybe a little bit, but like, I need to figure this out for me. Because
well,
this
I like how you said about it being
isn't
a different way to be. You were thinking about who
yeah.
you wanted to be, not just what
yeah.
you wanted to do, but who you actually wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I need new habits. I need new, because the ones I've been using now don't work. Like I thought I had good habits before, but obviously like I need to learn something new about this body of mine. I need to figure this out. That's how I kept seeing it, as I need to figure this out. I need to like, and not figure it out as in like, oh, tick a box, one and done, but
mm-hmm.
figure it out as in like, how do I go forward from now on? Like, how do I build these habits? Like, this is it now for the next phase of whatever chapter of life I'm in. Like, so I really was looking at it from a very wide lens of
mm-hmm.
like, of learning and lifestyle change. Like I have
yes.
to just incorporate these new things into my life. I've got to figure this out.
So what were some of the changes you made?
I calendared all of my workouts.
Mm.
That's a big one. I made sure they were, I'm pretty good with my calendar. And if it's in my calendar, I will do it. It's like a little commitment I have to myself.
I love that.
Calendared all my workouts.
And that's going to be even more important for people who do have busy, as far as like they are working a full-time job, like getting that on your calendar, just like you would a doctor's appointment or something that, you know, you have to go to for your kids, like putting it on there, making it a commitment is really different than just being like, I'm going to work out this week.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, yeah, that was fundamental. And I would do that kind of at the start of every week. I would look ahead and calendar each one through the week. I spent a lot of time, like I was very, I knew that, you know, I'm a teacher, so I know how learning works and I know how learning works for me, especially. And so I knew, I just gave myself a lot of grace. I was just like, this is all going to be new. You're not going to get it right away. It's going to take time. You have to just like, I guess, yeah, just being kind to myself. Like, I'm not going to get this right away. I'm just not. So I would take time, like when you would post the workouts, for example, I would read them. I would just take time to try to understand it. I'm also like a bit of an intellectual in that sense. Like I know some people learn by doing. I do not necessarily. I have to really think about it before I do it. So I would like watch videos and like just in trying to internalize a lot of it before I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
and so that, excuse me, that was good. What else did I do? Well, obviously I started tracking and I had very mixed feelings about that. How do I say this? So I'm very aware of diet culture, not for myself. I've never dieted ever. And I think I have been very lucky in that, like, my family has had pretty good food habits in that sense. And I've never dieted, but I have seen people around me that I care about deeply with all kinds of disordered eating and, yeah, some really tragic consequences in several cases. And so I was initially very reluctant to track because I kind of saw it as a slippery slope just because of the friends and, you know, people I care about around me that I had seen gone down that track who had tracked everything and were to the point of neuroticism about calories. And so I was really reluctant to start thinking in that way. But I gave myself a little out. I was like, it's not forever. I have to do this for a while to figure out how this body works. And then once I've got that figured out, then I don't have to do this anymore. That's
right.
That's the rule I gave myself. Nobody said that to me. That was just something I said to myself. And it ended up becoming tremendously useful, like
Tell me about that. How was it useful?
Yeah. So, well, the primary thing was that like, I had no idea. Well, maybe not new idea, but like, or maybe I was just in denial. Like, I really didn't know how much protein I was getting, like, ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I had vastly overestimated how much protein I was eating. And also, I think I didn't quite realize the role protein played in keeping me feeling full. Like, mm-hmm. I hear these things, you read about it. Like, it's fairly common knowledge, but I think I just hadn't ever paid attention to it in my own body. Like, yes. I just hadn't ever paid attention to it. So it brought my awareness to that. That was the biggest learning for me, honestly, was the protein bit. The calories, I played with that a lot. Like, I don't think I ever shared this with you, but like in the early days of FAF, like when we were setting our calorie numbers, I just like played with those numbers all over the place. I was like up and then really down. I just kind of wanted to see like, how do I feel? Like, I had set that range using your formula and I kind of looked at it and I was like, I don't know, this is dubious. And so I'm a questioner with things like this. Like, I don't believe it usually ever until I experience it. I have to know, like, is this
you experimented?
Yeah, I experimented all over the place and I still kind of am. I still tweak it a little bit. Yeah, it was very helpful learning to know, like, what do I actually need? Like, what do I actually need? Do I need all of that? And then, like, also, yeah, playing mind games with myself a little bit. Like, yeah, I don't really need that, but it's very tasty. And I might want that right now. And then, yeah, just thinking I, again, my view on that and like with calorie tracking in general is very holistic and zoom out. I don't get down into the weeds very much with that. Mostly because I ask myself, like, is this useful? Like, is it useful for me to think about this in this such a detailed way? Like, no, not really, not usually, unless I was like a food scientist, but I'm not. And so I'm really just like, my purpose in doing this is learning about how it affects me and how I feel. So then, yeah, that's a helpful place for me to draw the line. Like, is this useful?
And you were obviously very successful at creating a deficit because you don't lose 20 pounds of fat without being in a deficit. You can't lose any pounds of fat without being in a deficit. And so you created that deficit. And I like that you were very introspective about the number of calories you were eating and asking yourself, like, how does this make me feel when I eat this amount of calories? What if I eat more? What if I eat less? How do I feel? What are the results I'm getting? Do I need this? I like that you were really thinking about various foods, like you just said, like thinking like, do I need it? Do I want it? What's important to me? Like, this level of awareness of what you're eating, how it affects you, is something that most people aren't doing. Even people who are actively trying to lose weight, they're not even really thinking about those things. And being on that autopilot is not serving them. When we can really spend time thinking about what we're doing, noticing it, being aware of it, having light bulb moments like, I am actually not getting anywhere near the amount of protein that I thought I was. How do I feel when I eat X food all the time? Being very intentional about the calorie tracking and using it as a tool to educate ourselves on our own bodies and how we feel is powerful stuff.
Yeah, and it was, as you're talking, I'm reminded that I also discovered through that several habits I had that I didn't even know I had.
Oh, like what?
It was very difficult. I've gotten out of this habit now, although it's still like, I still get it every once in a while. It's very difficult for me to watch something on TV without eating.
Interesting.
I was like, why is this happening? I had not, and I don't know where that developed. I suspect that was a pandemic lockdown habit. Like, cause I don't have memories of that, like from childhood or anything like that. That was, I think, a habit that just kind of like crept up on me. Mm-hmm. And then once I had to start tracking everything, I was like, holy cow, I am tracking a lot of things while I'm sitting in front of this TV. Like, this is crazy. Like,
and
it
so
was just,
did you adjust
habit.
That in any way? Did you adjust?
Oh,
what you
for sure.
Tell me
for
about
sure.
That.
So first of all, the other thing I reached for when I was watching television was alcohol. And that's a big part of that for me is like a cultural piece because my family's Italian. And so there's like always wine out basically. But I realized that one was actually easier for me to curb. I was like, okay, well, does it have to be wine in this glass? Like, well, how about some sparkling water? Cause I love sparkling water. So that, or tea in the winter, like I love a cup of tea. So that was easy. But then I was like, oh, but you know, tea still goes really well with potato chips. but then it just became about like, okay, making choices. Like, I still like this idea of having something to snack on while I'm watching TV, but it doesn't always have to be these things that I normally keep around. And, or maybe it could be those things, but does it have to be all of it? Like I could adjust the amount, or I could mix it up, or yeah. So I again, just started experimenting. Like, how does this go? And to be honest, Kim, there were some nights where I would measure my potato chips in a little bowl and weigh them and then sit down, and then I would finish them and I'd be like, no, I definitely want more. And I would just be like, forget it. This isn't happening today. And I would eat the chips. But then, the nice thing about, I think, life is you always get a do-over, like the next day, like, you know what, maybe I don't need to do that today. So it was like up and down and up and down and up and down. And then eventually it was like a calibration. Like, it wasn't an all or nothing, like, nope, we're not doing that anymore. It's over. No, 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 no. And I still think that way. Like, there's still some days when I'm like, you know what? No, I want half the bag of chips today. Like,
but it's
that
intentional.
Is just how I feel. It's intentional. It's totally intentional.
And it's not habitual.
Yes, which is
enough.
Very different. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Very different than sitting down and mindlessly not thinking about I've eaten a whole bag of chips. Holy cow, how did that happen? Like, that is very different feeling. And actually, and quite frankly, when it's an intentional decision to eat a bag of chips, it's quite satisfying. Like, it feels like, yeah, you know what? I did that and it felt really good, even though, like, it hit the craving, even though I didn't need it. That was
And
good.
I know
But
if I do
I'm
that
not doing
all the
that all the time.
time, if I do that all
Yes,
the
that's the
time, I
key.
won't be successful with my goals. But if I do that sometimes, I can still be successful with my
Exactly.
goals. And other nights, I'll just
Totally.
have the tea, or I'll have the tea and
Exactly.
whatever.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. I'm not doing that every night, and it's not, it doesn't, it wouldn't, I know now because of my experience, I would not feel good doing that every night. So that's the key difference. But yeah, I played around with that a lot, in terms of the tracking.
Fantastic.
Once I saw these habits, I played around with them a lot, and I think that just helped me see my own patterns over time. Like, oh, I normally do that. Isn't that interesting? I wonder why I do that. Let's think about that. Or like, what could I do differently? So now it's much easier for me. I'm now at a point where I can watch a whole movie on the couch and not eat anything. I probably will, like at the beginning or at the end, I'll want something. But it's not like before where it was just like an automatic. It was an automatic, like without even thinking. So yeah.
And that really
So
impacts a person's bottom line results when it comes to weight loss. Having our habits that were automatic, that were not serving us, kind of putting this stopgap and making it be intentional what we're doing, that is
yes.
a huge difference in a person's calorie bottom line for the day. So I love that for you. That's fantastic. One of the things you mentioned, Adrian, is that you were like, I didn't want to track forever. And this summer, you've been running an experiment with your tracking and not tracking. Can you tell everybody about that and how that's going?
Yeah, I'm about 6 weeks into that now. And I wanted to just see if I could not track one day a week. And I do want to eventually work myself up to like 2 days a week and then 3 days a week. And then like I want to see, it's basically like my way of testing myself to see if all these habits have stuck. Like, can I make these choices without relying on the structured tool to make the choices? Again, I think, my background as a teacher helps this. Like, I know I see the tracking as a scaffold to my learning, right? So that scaffold has been there for the last almost a year. And now, like, can I, if have I made the learning transfer, basically? Like, can I do this independently without the tool? So I'm playing with that. And so I've been doing that. I took your advice and started doing that with the day that's like easiest. And that for me is Monday. So my Mondays are no tracking days. And yeah, so far so good. Like, yeah. In fact, I reflect some days. I wonder, I don't actually know because I'm not tracking on Mondays, but I do wonder if on some Mondays I'm actually eating fewer calories than I normally would.
Oh, interesting.
Because I'm not thinking about it, quite honestly. Like, and
Interesting.
it's like this reverse psychology. Like, I'm on the days that I'm tracking, I'm doing math in my head all the day, the whole day. Like, I'm sort like, I have my routines, I have my, my things I normally eat, but I'm still like mathematically estimating here and there and moving things around. Whereas I think on Mondays, I'm not, because I'm not doing that anymore, and I'm just making choices that are very similar to choices I've made, since in the last year. I wonder if I'm eating fewer calories. I don't know, but
It's a really good
I
point you
feel.
make about that you're making choices on this non-tracking day. You're making choices similar to the ones you've made over the last year while you were tracking. And I think that goes
Yes.
to show why tracking as a tool can be so powerful. Because for a
Yes.
person to try and lose weight without tracking, without ever having tracked, is it possible? Sure. Is it pretty tricky? It is, because
It's
you don't
tricky.
really
Yeah.
have an idea of the amount of energy in all of
Yes.
these foods and what
Yes.
combination of them actually put you in a deficit. You having
Yes.
practiced tracking for a year now, you're very well aware of what types of meals lent themselves to you being in a deficit. And so you can on a Monday that you're not tracking.
Yes.
And when Adrienne said the day that's easiest for her, that's what I always suggest. I wouldn't suggest a person goes from tracking 7 days a week to not tracking like on a Friday when you know you're going out, or a Saturday when you know you're going out, or a day you have like a different kind of business meeting, but picking a day that it's just business as usual for you. And that can really then help translate into like, all right, I'm going to keep eating the same types and quantities of food and see if I can still be in a deficit. And that's worked really well for you this summer.
Yeah, so far, so good. I'm even thinking about expanding it to Tuesdays. Let's
awesome.
See.
I love
I'm
that.
Not quite there yet. I don't know if I'll probably give it a few more weeks before I make that decision.
Yeah.
But yeah, so far it's good. And it also just like makes me a little bit, I guess, more optimistic that like I can eventually get to no tracking. Like that's my goal. I want these things to be like so embedded that I don't have to keep doing that.
Yeah. And frankly, that is my goal for everyone. Like, I don't want the people I work with to have to track their food for the rest of their lives. You use it as a tool. And for some people, it takes longer than for others to wean off of tracking and to really be able to either maintain your weight for the rest of your life or to continue to lose for a bit and then maintain. You know, sometimes it takes longer or shorter. But the idea is that little by little, you go from, you know, not tracking one day a week to not tracking two, to not tracking three. And eventually we add in not even tracking on those weekend days, with the idea that every so often, once you're not tracking at all, you can come back to tracking for maybe a week every few months and see like, where am I at? How's it actually going? Are my eyes like growing in terms of my portion sizes? Mm. Like what results am I getting? And knowing that you always have that tool there again, whenever you might want to pull it out, but most of the time will be non-tracking eventually.
That's the goal. I mean, one thing that I found really useful, I think I've mentioned to you before, like I love to cook and I'm always experimenting in the kitchen. I come from a family of foodies, again, Italian foodies. And I just love to experiment. And so tracking and using an app where I can create a recipe and see the nutritional information, that's been fascinating insight to me.
Yeah.
And also like a bit of a creative challenge in the kitchen to take a recipe that I've been making for years and be like, how can I add more fiber and protein to this?
Using
all that I know about cooking. And so that's been kind of fun. And I really enjoy keeping track of some of those recipes in
what
the,
app
in
are
the
you
app.
using for that?
I'm using Lose It.
Got it. Yeah, that's a good one. That's the one I use as well.
So that's been fun. And I think even after, like, let's say down the road when I'm not tracking at all, I will probably still use that feature just to see like how I'm doing. So now, just to show you like where my learning has been, I'm much better now at being able to estimate. Oh my gosh, I used to not be able to do this. It used to be like a complete mystery to me. If I had a recipe that I'd been making for a long time and I wanted to increase the protein, let's say decrease the saturated fat and increase the fiber, that was like a mystery. I would be like on the internet Googling how people did that, and then I would adjust it based on what other people had done. Now I'm much better at making those guesstimates myself, and then I put it into the app to see like, okay, how close am I? And I'm usually pretty close now.
Ooh,
so
that's
I've just yeah it's so it's been like a bit of a confidence boost in that way too. I'm just getting much better at that, and it's been validating.
I love that for you. All right. So tell us about some of the other goals you have moving forward. One is to wean yourself off of calorie tracking. Any other fitness goals you have moving forward?
Not really. I need to think a little bit more about what that is for me, because I'm in a good spot right now. I mean, right now the goal is to finish this 10K. So until end of September, that's going to be what I focus on. And I have to say, I have been really liking seeing my body become stronger. Like I said, I was telling you about how I noticed the power my legs had on my runs, like going up a hill. I was like, I have never conquered a hill like this before in my life. Usually I have to like slog through a hill, but because I've been doing all this lifting, it was just like my brain told my legs to go and my legs just went. And I was like, holy cow, I've never been able to do that before. So I really like that. And I've been enjoying like seen that strength in action, I guess. So that's very motivating to me. So I don't anticipate that I'll lose that. And maybe I will, like, I was inspired by you, Kim, because I know you've shared some of your like personal best lifting goals in our group. And that never even occurred to me, like that I could have a goal like that. Like it was never even in my mind. I was like, oh, that's interesting. So maybe that will be a goal. I don't know.
What's your favorite lift that. To do in the gym?
I really like dumbbell deadlifts.
Nice.
I know it's so silly, but I feel very powerful when I'm doing them.
Love that.
But yeah, that's all new to me. Like I still feel very much like a novice when I'm in the gym. And I'm okay with that. That's all right. Like I said, I'm giving myself a lot of leeway in terms of that learning.
Well, you've made huge strides. Again, you were really intentional. Just like you were with the food, you've been the same way with exercise, with asking questions, with experimenting with different equipment, with sending videos in. And we can visibly see your progress in the shape of your body. We can also visibly see the progress in your form, you know, like how your squat used to look versus how it looks now. And we can definitely see it in how much weight you're able to lift in various exercises. So you've made huge strides in the gym. And I love the idea that you're contemplating maybe shooting for a big PR in one of your lifts in the coming months. That's fantastic.
Let's see.
Let's see. Let's see. Well, Adrienne, thanks so much for joining us here today and
my
sharing
pleasure.
Your story. So appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Rhonda, thank you so much for coming and chatting with me today.
I am happy to be here.
So let's start here. Tell everyone a little about you. Where you're from, what do? What do you like? Really, whatever.
Okay. I grew up on an Army brat. My dad, we were deployed like everywhere. But I've been in Southwest Missouri for most of my adult life, about 30 years now. I work as a coordinator for a school telemedicine program. So my work really is about trying to increase access to medical care in rural communities.
Oh, that's important work.
Yeah, it's very satisfying, very satisfying. My entire career, I've been passionate about patient, customer, employee experience. A lot of that stuff. I am definitely a lifelong learner. I love to read. I love podcasts, have become the thing the past few years.
Yeah.
Listening to a lot of them. When my grandkids started arriving, I learned how to knit. And really enjoyed that. Made a few little sweaters for the kids, you know.
How many kids and grandkids do you have?
I have 4 kids, raised them alone, and they're all grown now. And I have 4 grandchildren. 2 of them have kids. So.
Nice. And do they live close by?
I have 3 daughters. They're all nearby. My son is military and he took 3 of my grandchildren far away from me.
So. How dare he?
I know. That's what I said. But yeah.
Well, it's been great to get to know you as, you know, a person before we kind of talk about you and your fitness journey, right? We never want to forget the fact that every time we're talking about fitness, it's not in isolation. Like this is like a part of a real person's life, right? It's not, none of us are robots who are like, we have fitness and that's it, right? So give us a little bit of a history though of your journey with weight loss before we kind of talk about like how we started working together and the things we've done together. Just kind of give us a little overview of your history all together with weight loss.
Okay. I would say I have always been an emotional eater. I can remember things even from junior high school times. And even back then I was not like struggling with my weight, but emotional things would send me into food. Mm. As I got older, started gaining weight, I would go on whatever the fad diet was at the moment. I could lose the weight, but then I'd gain it back and gain 10 pounds more. And became this yo-yo thing to where the more and more and more was getting dangerous to my health. So it was like, I'm just done. I'm not even going to try anymore. Just walk away. I am very into technology. I love playing with my phone and the apps and all of that. And I guess about a year ago, I was playing with the health app on my iPhone. And there's one in there, walking steadiness. And my walking steadiness was like really bad. And it said, oh, this gives you the overall sense of fall risk in the next 12 months. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am too young for this completely, you know, definitely in the empty nest stage. So it was a whole new stage of life. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm looking at this stuff saying, okay, I have to change something. I have to be able to carry in the 40-pound bag of dog food by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got to be able to do those things that I haven't done. I hadn't mown the lawn in 30 years since my kids were old enough to mow. I had one, you know? So I started I have one daughter who goes to the gym. And so I started going with her, and I have never been in a gym before in my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in high school, I was not the athlete. I was the brain kid. I was all about the academics.
Mm-hmm.
But you could walk into a gym and it's scary. Because you don't know how to use all this stuff. And there, at least in this gym, there's nobody that teaches you. So my daughter at least taught me how to use the machines, and the machines felt safe. So I kind of did them, and I was making little bits of progress, but not like seeing real weight loss or strength or anything. Between that and the only other change I made at that point was I started trying a grocery delivery service because I couldn't figure out how to go from cooking for this big family to for myself and it be healthy. You know, it was like frozen dinners all the time, and that it just wasn't good. It didn't taste good and, you know, not healthy. So I was seeing little changes, but not anything significant. I didn't feel like I was getting stronger. I was losing little bits of weight, but not much. And so I started doing more research. It was like Instagram, and ran across you.
I was going to ask you how exactly we connected. Yeah. Well, you started with me last January with my program called Fitter by the Day, which is not a program where a person spends a ton of time with me. It's a self-guided program. And a person works on three main goals. So talk to us about Fitter by the Day. You started that in January. Talk to us about what you did and your success there.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody, first of the year, you're like, oh, I'm going to try this new thing. I can have these goals for the new year, right? And Fitter by the Day seemed like a small commitment. You know, it wasn't huge. Okay, I could do this. And I actually learned things that were valuable. I mean, figuring out that protein is actually important, you need to try to hit these goals, and that actually satisfied your hunger, right?
Yeah.
The step goal thing of tracking my steps and figuring out how little I was actually walking. I work either probably 50% of the time I'm in front of a computer, the other 50% of the time I'm in a car driving to schools, and so I'm sitting, you know. And I found success with those. They were achievable goals, and I was able to then do the next thing. I was like, okay. So that encouraged me to then take the next step into Fitter After 40.
And you joined Fitter After 40 in the spring of this year. And to say your results have been phenomenal is that's an understatement. Before we kind of talk about how you did what you did, tell everybody the results you've achieved at this point since the start of the year till now. We're recording this. It's August 7th. Tell us, like, give us some numbers.
40 pounds, a little more than 40 pounds lost, and 38 inches.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I will say consistency in the gym is at 100%.
Yes.
Have found a passion of, I really like going to the gym and working out. I feel stronger. I can do things. And it's crazy things like, I was at a high school that's, it's got three stories, and I was walking up the stairs without having to breathe through my mouth. I could breathe through my nose, walking up three full feet. And these are not little flights of stairs, you know, it's a high school. So yeah. Little things like that, that are huge.
I can hear the excitement in your voice about all of this. Like when you just talked about the gym, you know, you just said it was about a year ago that you went with to the gym with your daughter for the first time. And you're like, I've never really been in a gym. And I was nervous and I started using the machines because I didn't know what to do. And I can hear in your voice now how you're like, 100% with my gym attendance. I'm excited. I love it.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, you know, even it's been so hot this summer, and in the spring I was walking outside because I am committed to get my steps in every day, but I can't do it when it, you know, you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and it's over 80 degrees and 90% humidity, but I can walk at the gym. And I found a new little thing because I can make myself go faster and I can have this incline and I can, you know, so I'm playing with that and it's fun.
I like hearing that about how you're kind of approaching this as what can I do? And how you just said it's fun and you're finding new ways to do things. It's like you, your approach to this as an experiment versus, you know, how a lot of people approach this, which is like almost a chore, a torture, right? And you seem to be having this kind of open-minded experiment with what's going to work for you. And wow, you're getting amazing results.
I will definitely say that I see this as developing a new lifestyle. The whole idea of getting steps and getting outside, which, okay, I'll admit I haven't done. I mean, the most, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, it was like you go from your house to your car, you go from your car to your office and back again, and you don't have, you're exhausted. I have more energy. I'm trying to build what I see as a lifestyle. I mean, I'm still 8-10 years out from retirement, but what is it I want my life to look like? What is this next stage? And I mean, even to where I downloaded a app on hiking trails, because I live near Northwest Arkansas and there are a lot of really nice trails and things down there. And so some of my kids will go with me and it's like, okay, we're going to go Saturday morning and hike. Now, been too hot for a few, for about a month. We haven't done that, but even they've said, oh, this will be good to get back into in September when it's a little bit cooler. So
how fantastic that this time last year, you're looking at an app that says you're walking, your balance, your fall risk was so high, right? You're not balanced on your feet. To fast forward a year later and you've got an app that's telling you where you can go hiking and you're off in the woods on a Saturday morning.
I know. It's crazy.
Right?
It's crazy.
That's huge. Yeah. So, well, let's kind of step back and talk about what exactly you did to help you move more, to help you be successful, to lose over 40 pounds this year. Let's kind of talk about them in terms of the core four that we focus on in Fitter After 40. So we focus on four main things. We focus on calories, protein, steps, and strength training. So let's kind of take those one at a time and talk about, like, how did you change this? So let's start with the biggie for weight loss. Everyone listening, if you've listened to my podcast for any amount of time or followed me on social media, you're going to know the number one thing I talk about when it comes to weight loss is being in a calorie deficit. If you did everything else right and you didn't get this right, you still wouldn't lose weight. So Rhonda's had incredible success. So clearly she's been able to consistently get into a deficit. Rhonda, what helped you to be consistent with that deficit? What habits or routines or tools or systems have helped you?
Well, getting comfortable with an app that lets you track. I did start doing that with Fitter by the Day in January, though I don't think I had set it down. You know, it wasn't set where it needed to be. And I didn't understand all the features because some of the things like calorie cycling and things like that, I didn't understand until you taught them to us in the course.
Right.
but it was getting that number. Okay, this is what you're going to try to hit. You're aiming for this number of grams of protein a day, which at first was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anymore, but it was at first. And then I think with the food, the biggest thing that has shifted my understanding of what is sustainable is that whole 80-20 idea. The focusing on the nutrient-dense real food, but then it's okay to have a little bit of the whatever, you know, because before it was always, well, you can't have it until the weekend. And listening to you talk about, well, this is what Weight Watchers was like, and, you know, or whatever it was way back when we'd starve ourselves to get on that scale, and then you go out and you eat. And I remember doing those things. And no wonder they didn't work. It's not a life that you can continue. So this idea of 80-20 made a huge difference. And then I would just say that idea of, you know, if I have one day where I'm going out to dinner with my family, or I'm going to do whatever, and I know it's not going to be right in a deficit, I'm going to make better choices earlier in the day, like maybe try to get more protein or whatever earlier, save up more of the calories for later, get something that's maybe, you know, a protein shake or whatever to get a lower calorie, so I have a little bit more calories, but then I don't feel like I failed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have that, that is not the consistent thing you're doing every day. You have these occasional things that are, it's just living life.
I love that.
That's okay. That those two things, the 80-20 and not feeling like you fail, has been huge.
Big ones. Those are massive.
Yeah.
So you got the app, you got handle on that. You worked on that 80-20 eating, allowing yourself, you know, those fun foods, and then not having that all or nothing thinking about like going out versus not. You're allowing yourself to go out with your family. And on those days, you're not saying this is a failure. This is what I do some of the time, but most of the time, this is not what I'm doing. I love all of that. Yeah. Fantastic. Rhonda, what about the emotional eating? In the past, you were typically an emotional eater. How have you progressed with that? How are you managing that?
You know, I know I am. I think the Facebook group has been helpful to just go in there, the accountability groups with people that are in the same experiences that I'm in. I am not going to say that I've been successful. I realized last week I had a couple of really busy, exhausting days, and I was not in a deficit because I ate whatever was there because I was hungry and didn't have time and I was exhausted. And so I was like, oh, you just identified a whole new, a whole new area you got to work on. So I don't know. Is it mostly having other people that are going through the same thing, just to say it and talk to them.
Oh, I love that. And I noticed you did that about this episode this weekend, because I just saw it this morning. I liked your post you had made about how you'd been super busy and you know, this vendor table, and everyone was bringing around crumble cookies to you. And then you came in the group, and not only did you post about what happened, you posted kind of like your thoughts about what you would do moving forward in the next couple of weeks when these type of events might come again at this season of your work life. Which that kind of processing of like, okay, what happened? What would I do differently? Getting it out of my head, talking to other people who can relate, all hugely impactful.
Yeah. That and the weight scale, because I will say, I don't know if I posted in that post, but my weights, the scale went up 4 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew there was absolutely no way that I had eaten 4 pounds and added 4 pounds of fat. It didn't happen. I was dehydrated. I was all these things. By yesterday morning, I was back down 3.5 pounds.
Yeah.
So
being able to navigate those scale fluctuations is huge. because when people aren't clear, and I'm sure there are many people listening to this being like, wait, she gained 4 pounds and then lost 3.5 pounds in 48 hours. Like, how does that work? And that's one of the educational pieces that is so important, because you were really clear. It wasn't fat. That was water weight. And why might it happen? And then how do we moderate our behavior when we see a spike like that? And you did really well with that.
Yeah, I've tried. I have one daughter that struggles with the same 20 pounds, and I'm like, you need to weigh yourself every day. And she's like, oh no, it messes with my head too much. And I think it actually is better. And it doesn't mean that I've completely overcome it, because there's days, if it isn't going down the way I think it should, that it's still, I sit there and I'm like, ugh. But I know that I'm going to weigh again the next day. And you know,
yeah, you've really made huge strides there, like implementing that education into practice and getting a long pattern of like, I know how the scale actually works for me, so that you can approach these spikes and these times where it doesn't seem to be moving as fast from a place of detached emotion versus getting super emotional about it, and, you know, a place of being rational about it. So that's fantastic. Fantastic. So you mentioned protein. Let's talk a little bit about that. What helped you increase your protein? Like, what are some of your go-to high protein foods?
I will say I've never been a person that eats breakfast. I like breakfast food. I just don't like to eat before like 10 in the morning. I don't like it. I don't know. Anyway, so a high protein shake does great. And just kind of modified what I do with coffee with the shake, and that starts me off well. I took one of yours because I remember the Instagram where you're like, you eat the same lunch every day for a while. So I pretty much have the same lunch of a salad with either salmon or chicken, and really tried to put whatever was fresh and available then. So I made a lot of color, you know, red bell peppers, and would add, trying to make sure I add things, pepitas, pumpkin seeds for fiber, but watching how many, because they're high calorie. But that's that idea of the same lunch. As far as dinner, so if I have to actually cook a meal for myself from scratch, it isn't going to happen. So I started doing sous vide chicken. That it's that thing where they put the meat in like the sealed bag, and then you cook it within the water till it's at the temperature it's supposed to be.
Okay.
So then I have this whole already cooked chicken in my freezer, and just pull one out, and I can air fry it. I can saute it and turn it into, you know, put some veggies with it and turn it into a grain bowl. So having the protein done already, because even if I had that raw chicken breast, it's going to take me 10 minutes to cook it. I'm probably not going to, if it's just me, you know?
Ooh, I love that awareness, like working with what you know about yourself versus trying to mold yourself into some other person's ideal. That's fantastic. Love that. So, okay. So you're starting the day with protein. You're doing similar lunches that are based around a protein, and you're having this like quick ready to go protein for your dinner, because you recognize like you're not cooking up any raw chicken breast at night when you get home from work.
Yes.
And I love it.
The only other thing I did was I looked for protein bars, just because there were days, especially at the beginning, it was really difficult to hit that, because I needed to hit somewhere like 140 grams of protein. And I found one that, and I stuck to the idea where you said 20 grams of protein to 200 calories. So not getting something that has way more calories than protein.
Yes.
But that's become my cheat. Honestly, it tastes like a candy bar to me.
That's
now.
A treat for you. What's the brand you're using? What do you like?
Fairbells.
That's been my new favorite. Yeah. What flavor do you love?
I like the caramel crunch, I think it's called caramel.
Okay.
Cashew caramel, right?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that one.
Yeah. Because it's got like this layer of caramel on the top, and it's chocolate. It tastes good.
Yeah.
It's given me that, you know, if I'm at the end of the day and I haven't hit my protein goals, I can take that. And it's a treat.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. It's an interesting, protein bar taste, because so many protein bars still really have, like, I don't know, that proteiny kind of aftertaste. But those Bear Bells, they're delicious. They really do taste like a candy bar.
Yes. Yes.
Delicious.
Just getting the chocolate on the outside, and I don't know. It's an addiction.
The one that I've been doing has little like crunchies on it. Almost like a Rice Krispie. I don't know what it actually is. Yeah. So I do the cook, it's called chocolate dough. And on the top of it, it has these like crunchy pieces. And wow, it was delicious. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that was a big piece of it too, then, is getting your protein up, is finding a protein bar that you really liked that had a good calorie to protein ratio, because a lot of people will grab a protein bar, but they don't realize that the calorie to protein ratio is way off, and they're getting 8 grams, 10 grams, 12 grams of protein for several hundred calories, and that's just not going to cut it. Not that the protein doesn't count, because it does, but it's giving you more calories from carbs and fats than from protein, and that's not as useful. So good Absolutely. Job finding one that met those macros. All right, so you got your calories dialed in, you got your protein dialed in. Talk to us about steps. When you first started tracking your steps, how many were you getting?
Yeah, so last fall, I want to say 2,500, and that was before I started counting it all. So even just the realization, oh, wow, you don't walk.
That's really sedentary.
Yeah. So at Fitter by the Day, it was, okay, I'm right around 4,500, 5,000. I was like, okay, a reasonable goal for me would be 7,500 by the end of the year. Because in my mind, I could add 500 a month, mm-hmm. be successful, build it. And I've blown past that. I have hit... I'm between 8,000 and 10,000 every day. Mm-hmm. And I want to say 98 to 99% consistency.
Wow.
Yeah. Way tougher in the summer when it's hot.
Yeah. And you mentioned that sometimes now you're doing those steps in the gym because it's just too hot where you live.
Yes. It's disgusting. actually, today is nice. And I was like, oh, maybe I can go walk. After work, it was very weird because in the spring, the days are getting longer, so I could walk early before work. Well, I can't do that anymore because it's dark, you know, 20 minutes before I come to work. So, I need to adapt again. So, yeah.
Fantastic that you've noticed, like, all right, there's going to be adaptations, and clearly you've been successful at making those adaptations. Besides, being flexible and adaptable and walking inside sometimes, what else helped you go from totally sedentary to quite active, you know, getting 8,000 to 10,000 steps a day? Like, what has helped you be able to do that?
You know, some of the stuff that you taught us about I have this memory in my head of charts where the 8,000 is where it's like important. I'm not saying it right. It's where you get the most benefit, maybe. Mm-hmm. And the fact that 10,000 actually came from a Japanese step, the people that made the pedometers, which is hysterical. But so it's, I'm just driven with it. And that and the apps, I will say, being able to track all this stuff, because I have, you know, you got the pedometer on my phone and I can look at it, and I've got it on my watch where it tells me. So it's like, oh, okay, it's still orange. I got to walk more, you know.
So just that awareness factor has been big for you, just having it there and being able to look at it and see.
And gamifying it. I really think for whatever reason, the technology makes me, it's a challenge. I'm competing against myself a little bit, I guess.
Oh, I love that. That's interesting. Well, you said you really enjoy apps and technology and stuff. So that's great that can lend itself to motivating you for this goal.
Yeah. It's been good. And because I feel like that is the biggest thing that will help me age well.
Yeah.
So that I can move and it not hurt. I mean, I think the steps is huge. So
yeah,
I want to hit it.
Absolutely. I mean, being mobile, and that's the number you were talking about as far as reaching the benefits. What you were alluding to there is the idea that our step count is, and now I'm going to lose my words, is correlated with a decrease in all-cause mortality. And they noticed that this continues up through at least 7,500, 8,000. That's where we're getting most of this bonus, which basically means if you're moving more, if you're going from 1,000 to 2,000 to 3,000, all the way up to 7,500, 8,000, for each little increment more that you do, you are decreasing your risk of dying from all the different causes, all the various diseases. And so it sounds like what you're saying is having that information and then being able to have that awareness with it on your phone and on your app and seeing where you're at in relation to that was really motivating to you. And you were able to gamify this to be like, how can I get more?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes. Love that. That's fantastic. That,
and I will say, you know, in the winter, before it got warm and I had just started and I was doing the, walking in the house. It was just that I've got to hit the number, right?
Yeah.
But the stronger I got, the more things didn't hurt as much, the more it made me want to walk more, to where it became way easier. I would laugh because, you know, I have a single story ranch style house. So you're walking from one end to the other back and forth when it was cold before it got warm.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, now I can go and walk this path in my neighborhood and even trying some of the hills because I live in a very hilly area. So figuring out which hills can I navigate without it being too challenging. And oh, then maybe I can challenge myself on a couple of these hills and different things. So the stronger I got, the better I got at it, the more I wanted to do more. So.
I love that. And I know you feeling better has been one of the pieces of your success that you've talked about a ton. It's not just the number on the scale that you've lost, but you've talked a lot about. I see you commenting all the time about how you feel better, you move better, you're not in pain, your joints feel better, you'll be able to get up off the floor easier. These are huge, huge milestones for you.
Absolutely. There was a time in the fall when I threw my back out somewhere, and honestly all I was doing was getting in and out of the car. And I pinched something and I was out for 3 days. I was in so much pain I couldn't get up. And watching not just the walking but the strength training, I think it's made those muscles to where I don't have the problem anymore.
Yes,
I just don't. So I did not understand how strengthening those muscles, and it's not like I was doing exercise just to strengthen my lower back muscles. No, it's legs, it's all of those things. And I'm not in pain when I used to be in pain all the time.
That's huge. That's huge. That's life changing.
Absolutely.
You have been super committed to the strength training, as we talked back at the beginning of our chat here, that a year ago you were not familiar with the gym at all. And now I want to share, Rhonda is probably the person who posts the most form feedback checks in our group community. She posts all the time showing me her lifts and asking me for feedback on how she can get better or what she's doing well. And her form has improved just dramatically. With every lift she does, she sends the form feedback in. She listens to what I have to say. She goes back and she tries it. She'll send in pictures of equipment from the gym and be like, what is this machine? What could I use it for? I mean, just the role you have played in doing what you can as far as strength training, like really educating yourself, being such an active participant and figuring out how to get better at this is just phenomenal.
You know, it's 80% us. I mean, yes, we need somebody to teach us, and that's huge, but we can't, I feel like it's just like a doctor. You know, you go in, you get 15 minutes with the doctor. If you don't go in with some knowledge beforehand and know what to ask and what to show them and how to, you know, you're not going to come out with very much. And it felt the same way with training. because after Fitter by the Day, I actually hired a local trainer at the gym that I'm at. And CrossFit is a big deal around here where I am. And I will admit, I don't enjoy that as much. It was really challenging and getting my heart rate up really high and kind of scared me a little bit. But when I hired this coach, I said, I want you to teach me how to do these things, because I felt like, okay, I know how to do this fly machine well enough. I can keep adding weight, but you can only add so much. I look at these people on the barbells and with the dumbbells, and I had never touched them. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to learn how to do it. And the one that I so remember, because she had me try to do a barbell on my back, on my shoulders, and I couldn't do it. I was really, my balance was off. Mm-hmm. She never tried again with another barbell of any kind. And then she had me do the pull down, the lat pull down, and would just keep adding weight to it. She wasn't teaching me what to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. And I still remember the first time I sent you, because I need somebody to teach me. I mean, I live in a small town. This is a town of 10,000 people. I am 30 minutes from a bigger town, so it's not like I have nothing. But there are not a lot of trainers around mm-hmm. here. They want to do what they do, like come do my CrossFit class, but nothing else, right? Mm-hmm. And I can remember the first video I sent you of the lat pull down, and I'm looking at your videos, and it's like, oh, you're supposed to lean back a little bit. Oh, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much of a difference.
I remember when you messaged back and I gave you some feedback about like, okay, where we're going to pull the bar to, we're not going to pull it all the way down, you know, to our chest. We're going to pull it up here to the top. And you were like, wow, this is so incredible that I'm actually learning how to do this, not just going through the motions.
Yes. I feel like I've learned how to do things safely. Being able to do a deadlift. I never thought I could do that ever.
Yeah. And you're killing it. Rhonda's barbell. She's doing barbell deadlift. She's barbell bench pressing. Like, you're doing so much. Oh my gosh. Your hand elevated pushups. You're getting so much stronger. So, so strong at those.
So just the ability to videotape what we do. And I will admit, it was really scary at first to videotape myself.
Well, how did you push past that? Because clearly you did.
With my pod, my accountability pod, there were several of us that said that, and I am an early riser, and I said, okay, I'm just going to the gym first thing when I get up, and there's almost nobody there, and I'm just going to do it. And the more I did it, I didn't care, you know, to where I've
like
had
ripping people, that Band-Aid off.
Yeah, I just had to. But I did go really early, and I would put myself in a space to where it's not quite so obvious that I'm videotaping, because every so often there'll be the guy that comes in with his tripod and, you know, all this stuff, and it's just I'm not gonna look like that. But just being able to send to post these videos, and because I don't always remember, you know, I don't have exercise, lifting weights, all these things, it's an important part of my life now, but it's not something I've done my whole life. So I do still forget things. And I had to come back last week and say, okay, now wait a minute. How far am I pulling that lat bar down? You know, where is it going? Oh, okay. That's why it was getting hard for me, because I kind of put it in this wrong place. And now I remember. Okay. So that is the most valuable thing, because that has become part of my life. I don't know at what age you're too old to do this stuff.
But, never. <know. laughs> Dead is the age.
There you go. So I enjoy it, and just having somebody that can look at it and make sure I'm not hurting myself, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's a huge fear when you start.
Well, you've taken so much responsibility. You've really taken advantage of this offering now that I've said. I'm like, you know, whatever you ladies want to send me, I will look at it. I will give you feedback. We can converse back and forth about it. And you really took advantage of that. And I love that Your pod encouraged you to do that. So in Fitter After 40, you can sign up to be put with other women who are on the same journey as you, and you can support each other with whatever kind of goals. And Rhonda used her pod here to kind of motivate there. I like that you then thought, like, practically, how am I going to do this? All right, I'm going to go early because I'm not going to want to do it with a large group of people. I'm going to find a part of the gym that's, you know, a little less crowded, because again, I don't want to do it with a lot of people. And then how do you actually record, Rhonda? Do you just literally take your phone and, like, lean it against a piece of equipment, or tell people how you do it?
Yeah, just turn it, you know, I leave it on photo and make sure that I can see myself, that it's turned around, and then turn it on, walk back over, do my whatever exercise I'm doing, and go and turn it off. Usually I'm trying to do it somewhere where it's something that's already there, you know, so it's not like I'm bringing some other dumbbell over and sticking in the middle of a place or whatever. But yeah, it's, and sometimes they're not the best angle, so I have to redo them and stuff. But for the most part, I get the feedback I need. I'm learning how to do these things, and it's been wonderful.
Well, I'm really impressed with you doing that, because a lot of people are super self-conscious of that. And it's definitely worked well for you at getting so much stronger at all of these lifts. So, Rhonda, what are your goals moving forward? You've made incredible progress this last year. What are your next goals?
You know, keep working on my health, improving my health. I mean, my father had his first heart attack sometime around the age that I am now, and then passed away 8 or 9 years later. My blood pressure is in the normal range. My blood sugar is in the normal range. I definitely still have some weight to lose, but I'm headed in the right direction and feel like I can keep going. I want to be able to age independently, able to, you know, carry that 40-pound bag of dog food in the house, to be able to get up off the floor without assistance, which, I mean, I've made a lot of progress. Cannot do the get up with no hands, you know, that you see on Instagram yet, but I'm going to keep working on it.
But you've gotten to, you can get off what, with one hand assistance, right? Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. That's huge.
A year ago, I had to have a step stool or the couch or something next to me to get up. So, way huge improvement. There's still some mobility things that I'd like to improve, more range of motion in my shoulders and my hips, which I think that's kind of, seems to be kind of common. So the ability to move, I want to be able to get in and out of the shower without having to buy one of those showers that's got the the zero walk in that, because you see the, I don't know, watch television anymore, but those commercials of, oh, get this one so you can be safe. I don't want to have to do that.
Yeah,
you know.
So you're looking at older Rhonda and thinking, like, what am I going to do to make make her life so she's strong enough to do regular life things without needing modifications like that?
And that all of this is part of my life, that this is a different lifestyle. A lot of the things I like to do are sedentary. I mean, knitting, reading, those kinds of things. So I had to develop new interests. The idea of going on the hike. You know, I already have a plan. I did one moderate hike, which, okay, I don't know who it is that rakes these hikes, because that was not a moderate hike. Okay, anyway, I have it marked that a year from then, when we did it the first time, and my daughter is like, oh, look at the white-tailed deer and the this and the that. And I'm just sitting going, how far are we from the car? Are we back to the car yet? Oh my gosh, I'm gonna die. I'm going to do this in a year, and it's not going to feel like that. I'm going to be able to look at the deer and say, oh, look at the deer, and I think I'm dying. So,
oh, that is so, that's huge. Yeah. That's massive.
Yeah.
Rhonda, thank you so much for coming and sharing all this with us. I love this last part you talked about how your natural tendencies are more sedentary, like you like to read, you like to knit, and that you actively looked for things you could do differently, like new hobbies you could get, like I could be a hiker. Like, it's so inspiring to see somebody who's like, what else could I do? Who else could I be? And not just staying in that, well, this is who I am. Like, I am a knitter. I am somebody who likes to read. That's what I do. And that's all that there is in me. But opening yourself up to possibilities, even in middle age, right? Yeah, you can be a hiker, you can be a lifter, and that you have become that person in the last year.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It is exciting. Thank you so much for being here and chatting with me.
Thank you.
I hope that hearing from Adrian and Rhonda has opened your eyes to what is possible for you. They're incredible people. They worked really hard, but there's nothing special about their ability to lose weight. You can do this too. And I hope that this has helped inspire you to see those possibilities. Remember to save your seat in my free masterclass, the Midlife Fat Loss Formula. I'm going to break down for you exactly the parts of the fat loss formula. What is different after a midlife? What isn't different? And if after listening to this episode, you're like, wait a minute, what Adrian and Rhonda had as far as the tools and the accountability and the structure in Fitter After 40, like I want to do that exact thing. You can get on the wait list right now. Doors open to the wait list next Thursday, August 24th. Doors open to the wait list. Right now, we do have more people on the wait list than I have spots available, but not everyone will sign up. So you still have a chance if you get on the wait list and you sign up really quickly when doors open next Thursday. You can be inside Fitter After 40 with me doing exactly what Adrian and Rhonda did as well. All right, talk soon. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.